Well, hey there, Jonathan Dorr with you for the Not Very Weekly podcast, but it's good to be back. If you haven't heard the interview with Nathan Parker that I did a couple of weeks ago, so if you're new to the weekly podcast or you haven't heard the interview with Nathan, go back onto the website or go to iTunes and check out that interview with Nathan Parker. It's a really good one where I got a chance to discuss, you know, just some amazing strategies for dealing with crisis and difficulty and what you do when your goals are really placed under pressure. So if you haven't listened to that, make sure you go and do it. And welcome to this week's episode. If you're a new listener, welcome aboard. If you're a regular, hello. Good to have you back. And there is some goal today. And all I wanted to do this time was to keep it really simple is I'm always on the lookout for sharing great content. What struck me this week was that I posted a couple of things on Instagram and Facebook that really seemed to resonate with people. And one of the things about sort of digital, the whole digital space, is when you find something that works, something that connects with people, then do more of that and talk more about that. But it's not just that. It's that when I get the kind of response I got on these two posts, it tells you that these are issues that are significant for all of us. You know, we all really want to grow and we all face so many similar challenges. So when I saw this kind of feedback, I was like, wow, this must really be touching on something that all of us face. So I want to share a little bit about those two posts. It's going to be a short podcast. I want you to take the ideas away and see if you can use them and let me know how you go with them. But the first one I posted, and you may have seen this, and if you haven't seen it, then make sure you follow me on Instagram. I'm going to make the jump to Snapchat soon too, so make sure you keep an ear out for that. But come across to Instagram. You can find the links either in this email. If you're listening to this on iTunes, then come across to jonathandoyle.co and check out any of the links, the contact page, or just, you know, come across and check out the Instagram feed or check out the Facebook page. If you haven't liked the page yet, all you need to do is go to your browser, type in FB, www.fb, letter F, letter B, Jonathan, fbjonathan.com. And if you type that into a browser, it'll take you straight to the Facebook page, like the page, and you've got a much better chance of seeing these posts regularly. So enough shameless promotion of social media feeds. Let's talk about what these two posts were. The first one was really simple. And, you know, I love sharing this one because it's one that I've lived and I've experienced and I see it happening. And I'm like, wow, you know, like this one isn't just a nice theory. You know how you get like so much stuff on the internet, particularly in this personal development space, which is just really kind of fluff. But this one I know to be true. It's very simple. It was just this. I posted something that just said, the magic is on the other side of fear. The magic is on the other side of fear. So if you're a regular listener, you'll have heard me talk about that a fair bit. And I want to talk again just a little bit about fear because it is so central to our whole experience of what's happening in life. You know, the biggest single blockage is never really tools or resources or strategies. People go, oh, well, of course it is. You know, it's I don't have access to this money or this, that, and the other. I go, when you push through fear, when something becomes so important to you that you have to make it happen, then you will find those resources. You just do. But probably what holds us back more than resources or strategies or tools is fear, is this multifaceted, multi-layered, complex human experience that dictates the bulk of why life sucks at different times. So in my book, I talk about that. When I speak in seminars, I say, look, fear is the number one reason that life sucks. You know, it holds us back in so many ways. So this post got 500 direct likes quickly and had a post reach of over 12,000 people. So I knew that I was onto something and I really want to just talk to you a bit more about fear. And really what I want to talk about is to convince you, to really try and share with you this ideal that on the other side of fear is where your real magic is, where life starts to get really, really good. One of my kids recently started some private art tuition. And, you know, they've got a bit of a gift and we wanted them to go, but they're really shy, you know, a bit like me, really shy and really, you know, weren't sure about going to a new environment and doing this. And they were really nervous, right? They genuinely were quite anxious about going because they're still very young and it was a big step and they hadn't done art before. And they were like, well, what if everybody's really good and I can't do it and people laugh at me? And there's that classic fear we all have of acceptance and being sort of validated by other people. But eventually they go to the art class and they come home, and you know, Karen would tell you that first night we're all sitting at dinner and they're pulling out the art that they'd done, and this smile that they had, this kind of amazing smile, just lit up the whole room. It was so powerful. And I'd already been thinking about this principle of the magic being on the other side of the of fear, but here in my own family, at my own dining table, was this really powerful example of somebody who 2 or 3 hours before had been really gripped by fear. Now think for a moment what would have happened if they'd stayed in that, if they hadn't moved out of that experience of fear and had stayed in it. Well, you know, obviously they wouldn't have got the tuition, they wouldn't have done the artwork, they wouldn't have had that experience, they wouldn't have had the joy. So can you see all the loss that happens when we don't approach and deal with fears? Because I keep saying the magic is on the other side of it. So what really stops us? I mean, look, you know, if we were going to talk about all the different kinds of fears, this would be a very long podcast. But I want to bring you back to a principle I've spoken about many, many times, that we evolved to be afraid of certain key things. We evolved to be, you know, afraid of being kicked out of a group, because for most of our evolution, belonging was crucial to our survival. But what's happened now is that we, you know, our brain, our sort of physiological brain, our physical structures in our brain are still conditioned to be scanning our environments for fear. And we still get the same physiological response to fear. But now we have all these abstract things like, well, people won't like us, or what if I don't get the promotion, or what if I can't do this, or what if people laugh at me? And those fears can feel just as real as the fears our ancestors felt when they were being faced by, you know, someone trying to eat them. So I don't deny that for you, fear can just be really a really powerful thing that you do experience. Because I don't want you sitting there listening to this going, are you just saying that, well, this is all just created and we should just, you know, not even think about fear and just do whatever we like? No, it's real. I feel it all the time. I really do. So, but I know that the magic happens when we actually are able to walk through it. So how do you actually walk through it? There's a whole bunch of ways. First thing is you start to realize what fear is costing you. You start to realize the small, sheltered, hidden lives that we live, constricted lives that we live if we don't push through to the other side of fear. And here's a really profound statement about fear, right? Fear is scary. It just is. It's an awful thing. I mean, it's not like I'm going, oh, it's nothing, you'll be fine, just push through. I live with this, and I'm somebody who's experienced fear powerfully in my life for many, many years. So first thing is to think about what it's costing you. And if you're a journaler, begin to think of something that you're not doing and begin to write down in detail what it's costing you. And the next thing is just to begin to take small steps. You know, some people do dramatic things. Sometimes it's just, you know, we're so tired of just dealing with difficult circumstances that we just crash through and do something massive and amazing. But for most of us, it's just a series of small steps. It's just that one email or that one phone call or going to that one class, and just, it's never going to get easier. Your fears might get bigger, the stakes might get higher, but, you know, there'll always be challenges. I mean, to be honest, it does get a little easier, actually. If I think about it now, the more that you begin to just practice doing what you're afraid of, the more you'll just begin to get a bit of confidence, and next time you face something, you'll push through. You know, Will Smith talks brilliantly about the idea that danger is real. So I'm not saying, well, if there's a snake in front of you, you go, well, I refuse to be afraid. That would be stupid. Danger's real. Danger's a warning sign that something is genuinely real and going to happen to us. But, you know, fear is constructed. It's something we tell ourselves. It's something that happens in our mind. So it's when you get that realization that we construct it, that it isn't real. I'll give you an example. I took the Harley up into the Alps on the weekend, the Australian Alps, and there's no snow yet, but all these chairlifts were running. And I'm watching these people, and there's a big mountain bike thing on. They're getting this chairlift to the very top of the mountain. And I don't really like heights, and I don't like feeling out of control, and I don't like the wind blowing at like 70 kilometers an hour and shaking the damn thing around. But, you know, the cost or the price of getting up to the top of the mountain and experiencing those views and then going with Karen to do this awesome walk to the highest point in the country was all sort of predicated upon whether or not I wanted to face that fear of getting on that chairlift. And when you do that, and when you get on that chairlift, the magic is always at the end of it. When you get off and you go, my gosh, I did it, it was scary, but now I experience stuff. So you with me? What are you afraid of right now? What are you not doing? What are the fears, rejection, uncertainty? What is it that's stopping you from pressing through into the life that you really want to live? So I want you to think about that and just keep holding this mantra. When you're facing it, just remember these words, that the magic happens on the other side of that fear, okay? End of sermon. Now, the other post that was really popular is a really cool one from a guy called Urban Meyer. Urban Meyer is the coach of the Ohio State University football team. For my American listeners, you understand all about this and how big that is. If you're not from the States, then, you know, college football is a big deal. And he's one of the most successful coaches. And I just read his book, and I've never met the guy, but I'm like, he must be one of the most driven, passionate, committed guys you're ever going to meet. Like, this guy, when you read his book carefully, it's like his attitudes and his attitudes to excellence and growth and his expectations of himself and others are extraordinary. But it's a really cool quote that I posted. You know, hundreds of likes. People love this one. So when you listen to it carefully, he said, "If your habits are not in alignment with your dreams, you can either lower your dreams or elevate your habits." So I want you to hear that again. If your habits are not in alignment with your dreams, you can either lower your dreams or elevate your habits. Okay? So it's really simple, but I found it really profound that it's not hard for us often to articulate our dreams, to know what it is that we want. You know, we're passionate, we can see the future, we know what we would love to have in our life, the person, the place, the experiences, the work, spirituality, all the things that matter, something really matter to us. But if the daily habits we have are not in alignment with those deeply held dreams and goals, then, like he said, one or two things are going to happen. You better change your goals really fast and drop them and bring them right down, or you're going to have to change your habits. So 4:30 this morning, I'm downstairs in my downstairs office. I'm working because I have a habit that I don't sleep in. I have a habit that the most productive time of my day is around that time frame. I have a habit that then I go and train for 2 hours. I have a habit that I keep reading all the time. I have a habit that I keep really physically fit. And those habits that I have allow me to keep moving in the direction of the dreams that I have and things that are most important to me. So if I slept really late, if I ate terribly, if I didn't exercise, then it doesn't matter if I say I want to be this fit or I want this to happen, I want to travel, I want to do this. It doesn't matter what my dreams are. If my habits aren't supporting the dreams, then nothing's going to happen. And he did something else in the book that I really liked. Early in the book, his team had suffered, you know, a really bad season, a lot of defeats. And he talked about, you know, this whole process of a ruthless kind of self-inventory. Just deeply going through with himself, his team, his structures, his coaches, all his support staff, really doing this rigorous self-inventory about the things that hadn't been happening, things that hadn't been done. And I found that really powerful, and it got me thinking myself, was like, you know, what if I was honest with myself? What are the areas that I'm really not growing? What are the areas where I'm really stuck? And I began to get my journal, and it's been going on now for a couple of weeks for me, taking this kind of self-inventory, being really honest. Because, you know, self-delusion is so common. We all do it. At some level, we all don't want to see the truth about what we're actually doing half the time. So I want to encourage you to think about those words, self-inventory. If you were to take half an hour sometime in the next couple of days with some paper and a pen and sit somewhere where you can really concentrate. And, you know, you can set fire to it, throw it in a bin, rip it up in 1,000 pieces after you finish. But just begin to write down, where are those areas in your life where you are not performing at a level that you want to perform at? Ask yourself those really tough questions. You know, most people won't do this, you know, because it's not pleasant work. I mean, some people go, it is, you know, it's really great. You get these insights. They go, no, it's hard. It's hard when you're honest enough to sit down and go, you know what? This is the truth. And until we admit that, then it's very hard to change anything. So think about taking a self-inventory in the next few days. Where are those sticking points, those behaviors, those relationships, those speech patterns, those thought patterns, the things that you're doing, saying, creating that are not serving you? Get them on paper, because until you can, you know, it's the old saying, you can't, you know, manage what you can't measure. Until you've got them down on paper, it's very hard to really begin to go to work on them. So there's some good ideas for the week about the magic being on the other side of fear, about bringing your habits up in alignment with your deepest held dreams, And, you know, I just want to encourage you. You know, I took the Harley up into the mountains and Karen was on the back and we had an awesome time up there. And that had always been a dream for me. You know, I wanted to buy a bike so that I could really have time with the family. And, you know, to have that experience with her is just like a dream come true, literally. It's like something I articulated, I wrote down, I knew that I wanted it to happen. And then to have that experience just a couple of days ago is really cool. So I do want to encourage you that when something matters to you, that when you have a dream or a goal, they can happen. Mine just did. So hold on to those dreams and goals. You know, when you're tired, when you're uncertain, when you don't know if you can pull it off, hang in there, keep going, because dreams do come true. They really do. If you articulate them, identify them, know why they matter, and then begin to strive and work towards them in an organized, disciplined, you know, habitual fashion. Okay, so come across to the social media feeds. You find me on Instagram at jonathan_doyle.co. You'll find me there. Come across to Facebook, fbjonathan.com. You can also find me on Twitter at jonathandoyleco, one word. So post a comment here on iTunes if you're listening on iTunes. Post a comment on the website if you're listening there. But or send me an email. Let me know really how you're experiencing the podcasts. If you have any key topics you'd like me to address, then do that. If you're organizing any conferences or big events you'd love me to come in and speak and inspire some people, then I am really keen to do that. So just get in touch with me. I'm doing a lot of speaking again. I'm going to do some, doing a big one in Sydney in the next few days. So get in touch. Let me know how I can serve you. I'm Jonathan Doyle. This has been the Weekly Podcast. Really enjoyed doing it, and I'll speak with you again next week.